You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One and two. With that very unfortunate end to the first week of the Rockets season, welcome in to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for post-game commentary and daily recaps of all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and sponsors over at Vivid Seats. Download the Vivid Seats app or go to vividseats.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you can get $20 off your orders of $200 or more as a new customer. As mentioned off the top, the Rockets are now 1-2 on the season. The 65-win Rockets, who just lost 17 times in 82 games a year ago, now losing two of their first three. That's because they're 115-112 losers in Los Angeles on Sunday night, splitting the tough road to back-to-back against the Lakers and the Clippers. Now, again, because it's the Clippers and the Lakers, and the latter without Chris Paul suspended two games for his role in the postgame, or not the postgame, the fight in the closing minutes on Saturday night involving CP, Rajon Rondo, and Brandon Ingram, among others, at Staples Center. Chris was unavailable tonight, and he's also unavailable Wednesday when the Rockets play a Utah Jazz squad that looks very, very good. So suddenly, the Rockets, with all the expectations going into the year, they're not in a great spot. And again, all the teams they played, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Clippers, the two losses to the Pelicans and the Clippers, these are two teams that had winning records in the Western Conference a year ago, and the Clippers appear to be a better team, ravaged by injuries a year ago. Now they have a lot of players back, including Pat Beverley. They appear to be a better squad. But nonetheless, when you're a 65-win team like the Rockets were a year ago, you don't have many 1-2 weeks. And so ultimately, it is concerning. The absence of Chris Paul was certainly a part of the equation. But the bottom line for the Rockets in this one, like a lot throughout the first week of the year, the margin of error just isn't there when you don't have consistent effort throughout the roster. The rest of the Western Conference continues to improve. Again, you give credit to the other teams. We've seen how great the Pelicans have looked, not just against the Rockets, but against the rest of the league and the Clippers tonight. Tobias Harris had 23 on 9-15 shooting. Danilo Gallinari had 20 points. Montrezl Harrell off the bench, 17-10. Lou Williams had 12. And the bottom line is that this Rockets team, especially without Chris Paul, is not good enough to give away the points that they have given up in the first week of the season. And again, when they don't have Chris Paul, that's only even more glaring. And the story of tonight's game, second chance points. The Clippers, they lost DeAndre Jordan in the offseason. You would not have believed that by the results tonight. 49 rebounds for the Clippers to 35 for the Rockets. Very reminiscent of the opening game in which the Pelicans out-rebounded Houston 54-37. The only difference with the Pelicans, you can somewhat understand it, because between Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, Nikola Mirotic, there's a lot of skill on that front line. With the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell, who has never been a good rebounder, I'm sure a lot of you remember his deficiencies in those areas a couple of years ago in Houston. Montrezl Harrell had 10 in 24 minutes. Clint Capella had 6 in 34 minutes. The Rockets were just simply out-efforted yet again, and despite their level of skill, that's not enough against a rapidly improving Western Conference, especially when you don't have Chris Paul. And it's not that the Rockets were without positives. James Harden had 31 points, 14 assists, almost willed the Rockets back into it late. They were down 7 with 30 seconds to go. Harden had a scintillating 4-point play, baited Montrezl Harrell into a dumb foul that almost gave the Rockets a chance to tie it at the end. Clint Capella, he didn't rebound well enough, but he did have 23 points on 11-14 shooting, had enough stamina to play 34 minutes on night 2 of a back-to-back, which is a positive development, was plus 10 in those 34 minutes, also had 5 assists, was a decent passer out of the high post. But for the Rockets, if it's not one thing, it's another. We should acknowledge Eric Gordon. He stepped into the starting lineup in place of Chris Paul, had 21 points in his 33 minutes, made 5 of 8 from 3, although he was just 2 of 10 inside the arc, missed so many bunnies right at the rim. That was a consistent theme for the Rockets, who were out-rebounded at the rim and consistently outshot at the rim. But the real story for the Rockets, if it's not one thing, it's another. We mentioned in last night's post-game show in which the energy, the motors from some of the starters, most notably James Ennis, Clint Capella didn't seem to be there at times. James Harden, it was picked up by the bench. Gerald Green, Carmelo Anthony, Eric Gordon, those guys who were so good a night ago. Well, the flip side, tonight in the same gym, but against the Clippers, the bench went completely south. Carmelo Anthony played 27 minutes after playing 29 minutes Saturday night, being a plus 23. Sunday night, he was a team worst, minus 18 in his 27 minutes. Gerald Green played 21 minutes. He was a minus 8. Michael Carter-Williams played 14 minutes. His minutes boosted in the absence of Chris Paul, but he was absolutely dreadful, minus 15 in those 14 minutes. And I said after Saturday night's game that the hope would be that against a team not as athletic all the way around as the Lakers were, that Michael Carter-Williams could get better. Well, it did not turn out that way. He was absolutely dreadful. His attempts at shots looked like shot puts, and that's without even attempting a three. He just does not look like an NBA player. The Rockets need Brandon Knight back sooner rather than later, but he still has not even been cleared to practice, coming off the infection in his surgically repaired knee. And my sense is that even when he's cleared to practice, which does not seem imminent, he probably needs at least a week or two of practice to get back into game shape after not playing NBA basketball, really, in close to 18 months. Now, the good news with Michael Carter-Williams, I don't think the Rockets were counting on him to be a rotation player. I think they were banking on him basically as a reclamation project, but I don't think they needed him. For example, if Chris Paul were playing tonight, then you would have had Gerald Green covering those remaining guard minutes, and you wouldn't have had to rely on MCW. Unfortunately, with Chris Paul out, that shrinks the margin of error even further, and just 14 minutes of MCW was enough to post a minus 15, which in a game the Rockets lost by 3 points, proved pretty damn costly. The Rockets did try Gary Clark in the first half, but in 3 minutes, he picked up three fouls. They tried Isaiah Hartenstein in 9 minutes, but he was a minus seven and actually had a killer turnover at the end of the third quarter, just a baffling play in which he basically threw a pass underneath his own basket with only a couple of seconds left in the third quarter, led to a three-point play in a game that, oh, the Rockets lost by 3 points. So, again, Mike D'Antoni did give a look at the young guys, but they did not exactly look ready for the moment either. The guy who led the Rockets in plus-minus tonight actually was James Ennis, plus 13 in 23 minutes, and I think that's a good reflection of his energy. Made two of his four threes, but unfortunately, four fouls in those 23 minutes, and his getting caught up in the freedom of movement calls continues to be a problem for the Rockets because he picks up fouls at such an alarming rate, especially in the first and third quarters, that it's tough to leave him out there for extended stretches. And ultimately, what I keep going back to for the Rockets, it's less about personnel other than Michael Carter-Williams, and that's directly related to the Chris Paul suspension, and it's more about want to. And this is night two of a road back-to-back, although it's in the same gym, so I think those excuses, week one of the year back-to-back, but there's no travel in between, shouldn't be as severe as they would be later in the year, but not irrelevant, so we should note it. But again, the larger point, I think it's less about tactical personnel, any of those types of issues, and it's more about the fact that the Rockets didn't want it enough. Now, Luke Bamute, one of many former Rockets, including, as previously mentioned, Lou Williams, Pat Beverly, also Montrezl Harrell, Luke in 17 minutes, 8 points, 2 boards, 50% shooting, played pretty good defense, but ultimately, it's not that the Rockets didn't have the personnel to win this game, it's the guys that, in many cases, they're paying a lot of money to do great things, are not providing even mediocre things. For example, Clint Capella and the rebounding, 6 and 34 minutes, and seeing Montrezl Harrell, a guy who is not historically a good rebounder at all, getting 10 in 24 minutes. That's just simply want to, and maybe night two of a road back-to-back has something to do with that, but again, we've seen it too often through three games, including an opener at home against the Pelicans, in which the Rockets did not even lead for the entire game after not playing since the prior Friday. I suppose if you want to, you could argue that the Rockets in a game like this, the Clippers played Boban, you could have tried Nene, but Nene, even though he's older and has been injured for the start of training camp and the regular season, I don't think Nene is going to be the force on the backboards that you're looking for in terms of narrowing a 49 to 35 rebounding gap. I think many times in sports, the expression that another team wanted it more is overdone because fans like to think that things are within their control, but in the case of the Rockets, I think that's absolutely true. The Rockets won the game against the Lakers because they got a lot of effort off the bench from guys like Carmelo Anthony, Gerald Green, Eric Gordon. Night two of a road back-to-back, those guys didn't seem to have as much in the tank. Now, Eric Gordon did make some threes, but he was 2 of 10 inside the arc. Carmelo Anthony, 3 of 8, 9 points, minus 18 in his 27 minutes. Gerald Green, minus 8 in his 21 minutes. In short, the guys that brought it Saturday didn't seem to have the same legs on night two of a road back-to-back, and the Rockets on the road against a quality team without a full deck, without Chris Paul, they just don't have the margin of error that certain guys cannot bring it on a given night. And maybe you could also argue that if guys like Carmelo and Gerald Green and Eric Gordon didn't have to extend themselves as much as they did on night one, then maybe their tank isn't as on empty on night two. But whatever the reason, we've seen a consistent theme through three games now in which you just do not have consistent efforts up and down the roster, and it's reflected in the rebounding battle, and the Rockets are 1-2 as a result. We'll talk more about this deflating 115-112 loss in a few moments, but for now I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at Vivid Seats. Because if you want to attend any Rockets home games this year, or if you want to attend any other entertainment events around Houston, I strongly encourage you to check out our sponsors, because Vivid Seats makes it so easy to go to sports games, entertainment events, anything else you might want to, live shows. They make it very easy for you to attend the event of your choice, and all at a great price. That's because Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets to live events across the nation, and they make the buying process remarkably easy. You can sort by price or even look for the seats in the specific section and row of your choice. And to make things even better and save more money, Vivid Seats is giving our Locked On Rockets listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off their initial orders of $200 or more. To take advantage of that, go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, or go to vividseats.com, and then use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more as a new customer, with every purchase backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. So from the biggest concerts and games down to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. So why not make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let them help you get to your favorite live event? So support our sponsors, download that Vivid Seats app, and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more. Jumping back into the program, we spent the first segment largely talking about the lack of effort, because honestly, that's the story. The Rockets out-rebounded 49-35. Down the stretch, the Clippers got second chance after second chance. The defining sequence, I actually thought the Rockets down 7 needing a stop with about a minute 40 left. The clock went down to 40 seconds, a full minute passed, and the Clippers didn't even score because they got three chances. And even though the Rockets played good defense, it didn't matter because, well, at that point in the game, you need to not just play defense but also get the stops. The Rockets couldn't do it. The rebounding effort wasn't there, starting with Clint Capella. The bench effort wasn't there, outscored 56-28. And again, the two players I keep fixating on, Clint Capella, 6 boards in 34 minutes, supposedly a good rebounder. Montrezl Harrell, not a good rebounder, 10 rebounds in 24 minutes, a 17-10 night for the former Rocket. And I think besides just missing the basketball impacts of Chris Paul, who had 28 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds, and 9 of 17 shooting against the Lakers on Saturday night before his ejection, and now 2-game suspension, more on that in segment 3, I think the Rockets missed his leadership, because this was a game in which the culture, for whatever reason, just didn't seem to be there. We remember the Rockets a year ago, one of the things that made them seem really special was night 2 and road back-to-back. You think back to, for example, that Denver and Utah back-to-back after the All-Star break, in which they had every excuse to come out flat on night 2 of a road back-to-back at altitude, and somehow they found a way to win the game, not just because they got hot from 3, but actually winning it with defense. Tonight, the effort just was not there, and that's why, you know, the early, in my opinion, are the lazy takes as to reference names like Luke Bamute, who, again, did play pretty well, although not many minutes for the Clippers tonight. Trevor Ariza, who, by the way, was a minus 47 in his plus-minus for the Suns the other night. And Jeff Bezdelic. What we've seen from the Rockets is, I would say, really a failure of culture. And I'm not panicking over it. It's 1 week. It's 3 games out of 82 for a team that gained a lot of confidence by getting to the Western Conference Finals and being in a position basically to win the NBA championship before Chris Paul's hamstring went out a year ago. So I don't think the Rockets are panicking. But no, I don't think you go from what they had in May to what they're struggling with now just because you lost a couple of role players and a coach. You know, I said that last week. I might sound like a broken record. I'm going to keep saying it. When you have Clint Capella go from a guy who outplayed Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs and was playing close to 30 minutes a night and having success against the Warriors, to a guy who's getting essentially pushed around by Montrezl Harrell, that's not just a matter of you losing a couple of role players. That's something in terms of, you know, maybe it's physical. I know Capella had a couple of injuries he was dealing with in the preseason, one to his foot, one to his hand. I know the team, generally speaking, as I've said earlier, I think it's harder than people appreciate to hit the reset button after being so close and now having to basically start over again and go through the 82-game grind. There's a lot of things you can go to, but I don't think it's just personnel. Again, if you want to blame it on Carmelo Anthony, well, the one game the Rockets won, they largely did it because Carmelo Anthony was plus 23 and it's 29 minutes with 10 rebounds. So it's not so much personnel. It's not that the new pieces they brought in are not working. It's that the pieces they brought back, and in the cases of Clint Capela and to a smaller extent James Harden, although I thought Harden's defense was a little bit better tonight, but many of the pieces that were very successful a year ago, and in the case of a guy like Capela that you're paying a whole lot of money to, are just not giving you anywhere near the same level of production that you got a year ago. And in theory, it makes the problem, I guess, less discouraging because these guys do have a track record that you can point to, but it also makes it a little more confounding from the standpoint of why is this happening? Because when you look at it on the surface, it's not like it was a bad night all the way around. James Harden, 9-2 of a road back-to-back, 31 points, 14 assists, 11 of 26 from the field, played a game-high 40 minutes on 9-2 of a road back-to-back. Eric Gordon played 33 minutes, had 21 points, made 5 of 8 from behind the arc. P.J. Tucker, a night after guarding LeBron James, holding him to 1 of 8 in the fourth quarter, played 37 minutes and was a plus 8 out there. The Rockets, they had most of their big guns outside of Chris Paul, at least in body. They were out there. They played a lot of minutes. Clint Capela, we've talked about his stamina throughout his career. He played 34 minutes. It's just, for whatever reason, even though it's many of the same pieces and the same bodies from a year ago, they're not giving you the same efficiency on a night-in, night-out, minute-in, minute-out basis, if you want to extend that analogy. And when you're facing a tough schedule, I know it's easy to say, well, why don't you try some younger guys and see if they have energy? Well, again, they did. Gary Clark played 3 minutes, and he picked up 3 fouls. Minus 6 in those 3 minutes, the Rockets were. Isaiah Hartenstein played 9 minutes, but the Rockets were minus 7 in those minutes, and he had a killer turnover that pushed a two-possession game almost to 10 points in the final second of the third quarter. So yeah, it's easy to say those types of things, but in practice, especially when you're playing a tough team and you're in the heat of battle, it's tough to do. So it's not like the Rockets have these options at the end of the bench. There is Brandon Knight, and I do think he would help the Michael Carter-Williams conundrum if he were available. And again, with Michael Carter-Williams, I think a lot of it, you know, you can't make the excuse that we did against the Lakers that, look, it's a long athletic team. No, quite frankly, his ability to hit a shot just looked debilitating. He'd get to the rim in the preseason. Well, that's because defenses aren't really locked in. When defenses are actually trying, you're not going to get those lanes to the rim unless you can threaten them as a shooter. And Michael Carter-Williams right now cannot even come close to doing that, not just from three, but he doesn't even have the, say, 12 to 15 foot game that Ashaun Livingston does, the parallel that some Rockets fans wanted to draw in the preseason after that first week. So as far as the Rockets and how they fix it, I think the honest answer, as cliches as it might seem, is to look in the mirror. They've got a couple of days off before they play Utah on Wednesday, also without Chris Paul. We'll talk about that suspension in a few moments. But honestly, you have many of the same players that were key a year ago not giving you anywhere comparable to the level of production they had a year ago. The good news this weekend, I would say James Harden and Chris Paul definitely stepped up their games, but Clint Capela in particular has not. I know he was a plus 10, I know he made 11 of 14 from the field, but the rebounding effort was absolutely abysmal, and for the second time in 3 games, both losses, that's where the Rockets were crushed. Eric Gordon, even though he made those 5 threes, could not get anything to go near the bucket. Now, in fairness, I don't think the officials were a help to the Rockets at all. The Clippers, even though they have less creators than the Rockets do, got to the line 26 times, somehow made all 26. Rockets just got to the line 15 times and only made 11 of the 15. So certainly that did not help. But ultimately, blaming an issue on the officials that has really plagued the Rockets for all 3 games, or at least large parts of them, that being their effort, the defensive glass, that seems like it would be a bit of a disservice. So to me, you have to focus on what you can control. And again, in my opinion, the variables, Capela and Gordon, are not on a consistent basis giving you what they did a year ago. Technically, the bench was the issue tonight, and Capela and Gordon were both starters, so their plus-minus figures were positive. But in many aspects, I think the bench's disappointing performance tonight, outside of Michael Carter-Williams, occurred because the bench and guys like Carmelo Anthony were asked to do so much on Saturday night that on night two of a road back-to-back, their tanks were running on empty a little bit more than the starters were, and unfortunately, the starters didn't pick up the slack. While they were better, again, you didn't see the effort, especially on loose balls, that it would take to counteract what happened with the bench getting outscored 56-28. And if there's one thing I think we might have underestimated going into this season, it's the importance of an easy opening schedule for the Rockets. When we did a schedule podcast a couple of months ago, we mentioned that the Rockets generally got a pretty decent draw, but it was a challenging first six games, although four of the six were at home. Well, the issue, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Clippers twice, the Jazz, the Blazers, that's six teams against all six, or six games against six teams that were all above 500 in the Western Conference last year, or in the case of the Lakers, added LeBron James, arguably the greatest player of all time. And so with your dealing with trying to add a few new role players, the likes of James Ennis, Carmelo Anthony, when you're dealing with the natural hangover effects from getting so close a year ago and now trying to reboot over the 82-game grind, and now when you're dealing with the absence of Chris Paul, yeah, I wish the Rockets had a couple of games so they could kind of get their feet underneath them, because part of the problem right now, there is a little bit of pressing, because I think the Rockets know, look, when you're competing with the Warriors, and not just the Warriors, but now the Jazz and Pelicans look much improved as well, you can't give away games, and that adds to the pressure, even though it's 1-2. Again, we saw how close it can be a season ago, and now you have a game against a very good Utah Jazz team, albeit in Houston on Wednesday, but without Chris Paul. So that adds to the pressure, and unfortunately, you know, it's luck of the draw, but I don't think that helps them, because when you factor in some of the headwinds the Rockets have going against them, this is the year in which I think the Rockets could have benefited from a couple of games early in the year to get their feet underneath them. Unfortunately, they don't have that, and so now it's up to the leadership of the team, primarily James Harden in the absence of Chris Paul, to dig deep and hopefully find a way to defend their home court, get that win against the Jazz on Wednesday night, and improve to 2-2. And at that point, even though the schedule does not ease up for a little bit, at least you would be back at 500 and then have a couple of home games against, while quality teams, certainly not overwhelming teams, in the Clippers next Friday and then the Blazers the following Tuesday. Now, should the Rockets' current level of play continue? Will there be a point that you hit the panic button in terms of personnel? Maybe, but right now, again, other than Michael Carter-Williams, I'm not seeing anything that screams alarm. Maybe James Ennis and the fouls, but I think some of that's the league's officiating emphasis that's going to dial down a bit with time. Carmelo Anthony, while defensively he wasn't a positive tonight, he was decent on Saturday, and Carmelo missing shots, I'm not going to worry about that too much, because I think ultimately some of that's just integration and his evolution from, you know, a creator into a catch-and-shoot guy. I think Carmelo Anthony's ultimately going to be fine when it comes to putting the ball in the bucket. I'm not worried about them too much. What I am worried about are the guys like Clint Capela that are not giving you right now what they gave you a year ago. And so my imminent focus is getting back those guys, Eric Gordon, but especially Clint Capela, that were so instrumental to your success a year ago, back to that form. If you're still losing games when that happens, then yeah, maybe we can talk about personnel. Maybe we can talk about the Rockets needing to add another defensive guy sooner rather than later. But in terms of the defense, the Rockets give you up 115 tonight, 115 on Saturday, 131 in the opener against New Orleans. I'm not really too panicked over the defense just yet. Again, scoring and pace is up all over the league, some of it in large part due to the officiating changes. And again, it's three games. I'm not going to get too up in arms over that just yet. You're also still getting James Ennis integrated into the scheme. He's supposed to be one of your defensive stoppers. You're also getting him used to the NBA's new foul rules. There's a lot of factors going on there. So to me, do the Rockets need changes in personnel? Do they need more defense? Maybe, but over three games, I'm not that worried about talent, personnel, tactical changes, X's and O's. I'm worried about effort. I'm worried about fixing guys that were so instrumental a year ago in your 65-win success and getting them back to that form. If the Rockets are still struggling when that happens, then yeah, we can reevaluate the rest at that time. But right now, I'm trying to fix the guys that were so successful a year ago and currently are not giving you that same level of production. To me, that's the biggest storyline from this first week, which the Rockets finish out and at 1-2. And that's where we'll wrap up our weekend analysis portion of this podcast. That's not it for the podcast. On the other side, we will have a little bit of talk about the Chris Paul suspension and what led to his absence Sunday, but will also be leading to his absence Wednesday night in the big game at home against the Utah Jazz. Now, as we said leading into this segment, one of the storylines Sunday night, the Rockets are missing Chris Paul, and when you're missing one of the two top 10 players in the NBA, then there's going to be an impact, as we saw in Game 6 and Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Is it enough that the Rockets should lose to the Clippers? I don't know about that, but it certainly shrinks the margin from where the Rockets are a clearly better team to where it's close enough, especially on the road, night two of a road back-to-back, where a three-point loss is somewhat understandable. Again, I don't think the Rockets got a break with the schedule, given some of the headwinds that they're facing early this season. But ultimately, the NBA disciplining Chris Paul, suspending him two games for his role in that fracas, the league did determine through video provided by the Rockets. Good job with the Rockets. That's why if you're a sports team, you should invest proactively in terms of getting your personnel, especially video guys, at games. You never know when you might need it. Shoot, look at what happened with Jose Altuve and the Astros and that controversial home run, which no one had a clear side angle on, because the Rockets staff Staples Center Saturday night. They did find evidence that Rajon Rondo did spit at Chris Paul, which prompted Chris Paul to kind of respond by poking Rondo on the side of the head, which made Rondo apparently lose his mind, punch at Chris Paul, which prompted Chris Paul, of course, to punch him back because the officials weren't able to step in time. Brandon Ingram also landed a sucker punch in there, and so he got the longest suspension of all. 4 games for Ingram, 3 games for Rondo, and 2 games for Paul, because at least the Rockets were able to prove that he was not the instigator. So it's a loss for the Rockets. Ultimately, I have a tough time getting too worked up about it, because even if he didn't start it, look, you connect with a punch on an NBA court. Fact is, you're generally going to get a game, period, for even swinging a punch, and you're going to get at least a game for connecting. So 2 games was the minimum of my expectation. It sucks, especially with the Rockets looking to get their feet underneath them, but in a strange way, I kind of feel like, A, Chris had no choice, especially early in the year. Now, I would want him to handle a little bit differently if it was the playoffs. And B, I think it did kind of help, at least in that one game, have a galvanizing effect for the Rockets, bring them together. Unfortunately, it didn't fully translate until Sunday night. So really, 2 games, it's about the best, I think, that you could hope for. It's unfortunate that you're without Chris when he didn't do anything wrong. But the fact is, even if he's just defending himself, the NBA has to draw a hard line. Slippery slope issues are there, and I don't really have any issue with the league suspending him for 2 games. It sucks for the Rockets, but it is what it is. It did have a lot to do with the 3-point loss against the Clippers on Sunday night, and hopefully James Harden comes back with a kind of monster game against the Jazz early in this season that we had early in last season. We had that 50-plus point game that was just scintillating on a Sunday night at Toyota Center back in early November. The one thing I will say, though, I think it's a bit of shame to see the NBA let Rajon Rondo off the hook with basically just one more game than Chris Paul. Because if you're going to acknowledge, which the league did, that Rajon Rondo was the instigator, and he has a track record of this type of behavior, the difference in 3 games and 2 games does not seem to be compatible with the story that he was much more responsible for the incident. And that's one of those things that's unfortunate. If the Lakers weren't 0-2, maybe it'd be handled differently. If the Lakers weren't in a position to where that absence they felt like could really hurt them a lot, I don't know. I'm speculating here. But the issue is that if Chris Paul suspended 2 games, in my opinion, Rondo should have been suspended at least double that. He was responsible for that thing escalating as quickly as it did. And quite frankly, the officials were as well, because the entire thing doesn't happen if James Harden is given a point-blank continuation, which is what got Chris Paul worked up, that a textbook call was blown. And of course, that's what Rajon Rondo was brought over. Well, I won't say he was brought over, but he decided he should be brought over to insert his way into, and then tempers quickly flared owing to the history between Rondo and CP that dates back close to 10 years. We did hear from Mike D'Antoni before the game. He joked that at least they didn't suspend Boris Diaw this time. That refers back to the series back in the 2000s when the Suns, tied at 2, were victimized by just a ridiculous policy. At the end of the game, Robert Horry into the Spurs bench came in, basically hip-checked Steve Nash into the scorer's table. Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw came off the bench basically to de-escalate and somehow were suspended. Back then, the NBA was so tight with the rules of anyone who leaves the bench. Technically, it was a suspension that was right by the rule book, but in terms of spirit of the game, it was absolutely wrong. And I think Mike, by mentioning that, I think he knew what he was doing. He was trying to rib the NBA and point out that by the spirit, look, this isn't right. And it does kind of sting, because you never know if the Rockets are lower in the playoff projections than you might think, or if the Lakers end up a little bit higher in the seedings than you might think, then just between those 2 games, that margin could end up influential. But ultimately, while I don't think over the balance of 82 games, 2 games for Chris is unreasonable, and we did hear from Mike D'Antoni that Chris Paul might have set out this one, night two of a back-to-back on the road early in the season. He might have sat out anyway, so maybe it's closer to a 1-game suspension. We'll never know. But ultimately, I think it's a good thing that the Rockets brought it up, because the NBA's language on this, on the situation, and what we know about it in terms of Rondo clearly spitting in Chris Paul's face to start that entire sequence, to me, that's not really compatible with a result in which basically Rondo gets only 1.5 times the level of suspension, not even double that Chris Paul got, and everything that Chris Paul got, or everything that Chris did, was in retaliation for what Rondo did. So it's unfortunate. Rockets have to make the best of it, and hopefully, again, you get a couple of nights off, and maybe that's the ticket to getting guys, not just Harden, who had a great game on Sunday night, 31-14, but maybe that's what you need to get Capella, Gordon, the variables, the guys we talked about that need more energy going, and hopefully also the guys from your bench that were so strong on night one of this road back-to-back, Carmelo Anthony, Gerald Green, those types, hopefully you get them back and in peak form on Wednesday night at Toyota Center against a rapidly improving Utah Jazz team led by Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. So the suspension, I am fine with the two games, but as far as the breakdown, two for Chris Paul, three for Rondo, four for Brandon Ingram, to me that's the NBA missed the mark, but all you can do is note it, which I think the Rockets did. They're not letting them off the hook. They registered their displeasure, and hopefully it's noted for future reference if and when there's anything that happens in the future between the Rockets and the Lakers. I think we all know where this thing started and who's responsible for tempers escalating the way they did last night. Anyway, with that, I think we can close the book on the Rockets-Lakers fracas and close the book on really an uneven weekend for the Rockets. They did get their first win, but they also got their second loss of the season, 115-112 against the Clippers on Sunday night, dropping the Rockets to 1-2 on the year. So for today, that'll do it. If you want more coverage before our next show, I strongly encourage you to follow me on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a website, lockedonrockets.com, a Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Always, you can access our content, ask me questions about the Rockets, make suggestions for the show, make inquiries about how to become a potential advertiser, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the Rockets fan, or you, the human being. And if you want to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor, we've got great rates. Well, one example of that growing and successful program is our sponsors over at Vivid Seats today. So if you want to support them, go to vividseats.com or download the Vivid Seats app and then enter the promo code LOCKEDON. And from there, you can get $20 off your orders of $200 or more as a new customer. Also, while today is a down day for the Rockets, it's not a down day throughout Houston sports. The Texans won their fourth game in a row. They're now 4-3, solo possession of first place in the AFC South. So this great Lockdown Podcast Network, of course, there's local experts across the NBA, but there are across the NFL, Major League Baseball, and college sports as well. That includes the Houston Texans across town, Lockdown Texans. You can find them iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, Google Play, TuneIn, the same places you find Lockdown Rockets. You can find Lockdown Texans, great daily show there, hosted by our friends Robert Land and Brian Patterson. Check them out, and they've got a great recap, a much happier one than my recap today, breaking down the Texans' big 27 win on the road at division rival Jacksonville, improving the Texans to 4-3, now winners of 4 in a row on the year. Anyway, that'll do it for tonight's show. Again, Rockets 115-112 losers in Los Angeles against the Clippers, dropping them to 1-2 on the season. Despite that deflating note, I do hope all of you have a good start to your week here in Houston, and come back soon and check us out here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast commentary on a daily basis on everything Houston Rockets basketball.